Our sermon this morning is from Psalm 105, verse 1. Psalm 105a will be our psalm of the month, so I'll be preaching through there. I'll read verses 1 through 8. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonders which he has done, his marvels and the judgments uttered by his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. Pray with me. Our Father, please bless us now as we listen to you, as we listen to what you have said, as we listen to what you are saying, as we consider the direction that you point us, how you lead us, how you steer us. Please bless us as we deal with our own minds, as we deal with our own hearts. Help us to be disciplined for the next half hour to see how you would have us grow, how you would have us change, how you would have us direct our steps. That you will be being glorified as we seek to love you, to know the best ways to love you, as we seek to pursue you, as we look for the best ways to love our neighbors. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What kind of heart do you think you have? How do people know you? How do people think of you? What does your name mean as people would consider you? We see our first instruction that we are given in Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. This is a staging point. It is a first step. Maybe you could even think of runner's blocks at a track meet where people get down low and they have their feet against these two blocks to spring and to drive forward. What if thankfulness is that place? What if thankfulness is that block to be driving you forward into that great race that we are to run with perseverance with our eyes set on Christ Jesus? You and I have what I would call a bizarre work to do in our lives. The bizarre work is steering our own heart. Such a strange idea in the midst of our culture, where our culture imagines that the heart is what steers us or directs us, or the truest version of yourself is your heart. And if you're being true to your heart, you're being as true as you can possibly be. But there's so many bizarre distortions in our heart, so much perversion in our heart. To imagine that if we simply do what we feel we should do, that we will always be doing right, is profane. In fact, it's even insane. The things my heart has told me to do, some that I have done that were terrible and wrong, other things that my heart would tell me to do are wicked and bizarre and would lead to my downfall, my shame. The shame of my family, the shame of my children, the shame of my children's children. But the heart that we are being told to have here is a specifically directional heart, moved, pointed, steered to an intentional thankfulness to the Lord. And what do you have to be thankful for? Our exercise this morning and our walk this morning and each of our steps as we move along this morning is to see specific things that you who are in Christ have been given in order to be thankful for. And maybe as we do this, whatever identities that we have had will be shifted just a bit, steered just a bit, that people could think of you and say of you, that's a thankful person. That's a person of gratitude and joy. That is a person that knows what the Lord has done. And that is a person who rejoices in what our Lord has done. Our first step is set your heart in relationship to the living God. Like a sail, your heart is either turned to bring you towards Christ, moved along by the circumstances of the world, or your heart is set to move you away from Christ. You set your heart and you interpret the circumstances of your life in this way. Either God does a good thing for me, you say, and takes me to him, or God does a bad thing to me, and you say, that moves me away from him. If you don't think specifically that way, you do respond that way regardless. Do the pains and sufferings and disappointments in your life move you closer, steered more directly, or move you away? All of our hearts are set up with a sail to go one way or the other. You can consider the circumstances of your life and what has happened previously. Do your disappointments, your fears, your sorrows take you like a ship closer to that point or further away? The idea that your heart is constantly existing in relationship to the living God is something not to be forgotten. Matthew 15:8, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The specific thing that we are to be considering is our heart's relationship to the Lord, coming towards him. I remind you, the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all of your strength. Each one of those points could probably be a sermon or a stepping block right now. That all of it focused right at him, to him, towards him, for him, with an affection. We can say, and we can look specifically, that our affections are in reference to reality. We don't have to make things up to be thankful for. We don't have to cultivate things. We don't have to make false signs and have a bunch of empty hype. One night we had a basketball game and they called it Spirit Night where we were going. And at Spirit Night, it was just chaos. And I wondered, what spirit is this that they're seeking to cultivate and to show? And we were sitting, there was a small boy sitting behind me screaming like a girl, just ear piercing. And I put up with it as long as I could. And I turned to him, I said, can you stop that screaming? It's hurting my ears. And he looked at me aghast and said, but it's Spirit Night. And I said, dear boy, I don't know what spirit you're giving voice to, but it's not the Holy Spirit. What is this direction that we are to be being taken? What is the Spirit of God? What is the Spirit of Christ that we have been given that we are to be being thankful for? There is a true spirit that is to, towards, and for Christ, guided by his word, as we saw in John 14. Our second step is give thanks for your eternal soul. You are a spiritual being. You exist here now in this pew. But the bodies that we see, the bodies that we look at, are clothes on a soul. That is the nature of who we are. These things will, will diminish, will rot. Some of us, most of us, have already started. But you have been given something that lasts forever and ever. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground. This is our earthly body. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Another good translation is a living soul. You exist in this way. Take a moment and consider your eternity, your eternal being, your inner man. It's strange to me, and I'm still coming to terms with it. Growing up in the culture, you're taught to value certain things, certain appearances or certain bodies or certain features that you think are higher and more valuable. But then we'll find ourselves walking through Walmart and find ourselves despising some individual because whatever that spectrum is, they're on the opposite end of that spectrum. But when we're truest, we can step back and say, they are just as valuable as that other character that people scream for, shout for, cheer for, take pictures of, want to take pictures of. That eternal soul, you have that eternal soul that is of ultimate value. Described, or we're given the instruction as we would care for it. Above all else, watch over your heart with all diligence. That is your inner man, for from it flow the springs of life. Your heart, what are your thoughts about it? Your inner man, your soul, your spirit that you have within you. Do you recognize that you have been given something that's a battery that never dies? It goes on and on and on and on forever. We have been given the instruction to guard it, to watch over it. With all diligence, how are you caring for it? How are you taking care of it? What are you doing for it? We are to be in a place where we are giving thanks for what we have been given. Psalm 25:1. It is a beautiful picture of faith and hope and gratitude. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Are you grateful? Be grateful. Be grateful for your soul. Be grateful for this eternal being that you have been made into. Our next step is a bit of our relationship, the relationship of our soul with the Holy Spirit. Our third step is thank the Lord for his Holy Spirit. In Genesis 1:2, we can look through Genesis 1 and see the work of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the midst there. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving or hovering or pulsating, is another way to translate it, over the surface of the waters. The Holy Spirit was there, present, working in creation. It's a beautiful thing to consider that we have the Holy Spirit, and spirit in Hebrew is wind or breath, the exhaling. It's also wind or breath. Spirit in Greek is wind or breath. It's also the exhaling. If we consider how we form words with our breath, our exhaling. We consider Jesus being the Word formed. Jesus came as the Holy Spirit hovered over or oversaw or cared for Mary, the Word brought forth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father, as is described in Scripture. The Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of Christ, as described in Scripture. The Holy Spirit was sent to us, described as the helper. John 14:16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. There you are, never, ever alone. Never alone. The Holy Spirit abiding in you. So let's consider what we have now. We have an eternal soul given to us in relationship to our Heavenly Father, to Christ, to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us, a helper. We are sons and daughters of the Most High as we have the Spirit of Christ abiding within us. A beautiful place to be happy. A beautiful place to see ourselves as blessed. A beautiful place to be thankful. Our fourth step is thank the Lord for his word. We see the way that he has spoke and he has worked. Psalm 33:9, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. We can look at the world and we can see that it was made by the word of God, made by Christ. It is made by him having spoken it into existence. Last night, sitting at the Diamonds, there was the cutest little wooden chair sitting there, and I looked at it, and I liked it because it was cute. I also liked it because it looked simple enough that I might be able to make one. And as I looked at it, I said, what is holding that together? What is the hardware involved in that nice, cute, little child's wooden chair? Elliot looked, and he saw, and he told me. We are to think that way even of the world. Hebrews 1:3, and he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. We're to look at all creation, and when we love it and we marvel at it, we can say, what is holding that together? How is that all here? It is here by the word of God, by the word of his power. If you're following along in your outline, in Romans 10:17, we see that word of power even was the instrument by which you were given faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. We exist in a world that was spoken into existence. You exist in a world that is held together by the word of his power. You exist eternally in this world by the soul that has been breathed into you. We exist in the midst of this world. We exist as members of his household, as members of the kingdom of God, because faith has come by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. We sang this morning of the beautiful power of his word that we have been given. So be thankful for this. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. Can you be grateful for your soul being restored? The testimony of the Lord is sure. Can you be thankful for anything sure in this world? Making wise the simple. Can you be thankful for some spiritual wisdom and practical wisdom given to you in the world? The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. I mean, when we're thinking correctly about it, we are happy. We are happy. We are rejoicing when we think rightly about the word. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Can you be grateful for anything pure? Enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. Oh, a lack of truth we have in this world. Be grateful for the truth. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. I don't seek gold so much, but let's say more righteous or more desirable than your paycheck. Or whatever it is that you're looking for your income, whatever it is you're looking for your treasure. More desirable than your paycheck or whatever treasure you seek. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Can you be grateful for that dessert given to you? That wonderful treat. and moreover by them. Your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Be grateful for the word, because in those instructions is great reward as we follow them. Our next step, number 5, is thank the Lord for ears to hear. We see that God has done a baffling work in the world. That there is some level and some degree that God has hidden the gospel from some in the world. We can look and see a description in the book of Exodus that he hardened the hearts of the Egyptians. He hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Jesus describes the same work that goes on continuously. Mark 4:12, so that while seeing they may see and not perceive. While hearing they may hear and not understand. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. It was a troubling thing for me before I realized and understood that it's specifically the Holy Spirit that opens people's hearts to believe and to trust. I thought it all hinged on me every time that I preached. And that if no one came up to the altar, I had failed God. Because I did not make a persuasive enough argument in order for people to be saved. Well, we see now, though, the work that he is doing. Matthew 11:25, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent. And then on the other hand, and have revealed them to infants. So if we want to say who's wise and who's intelligent and who are the infants in the room, we'll divide. Everybody should run to the infant side. The wise and the intelligent are the ones that don't get it. Those who are wise in their own sight, they think they have it all figured out. The infants are the ones who are saying, I just need you. I can't do this. I need you. I need your help. So the Father reveals these things to infants. Acts 16:14 describes God opening the heart of Lydia to receive the word that was spoken. In Acts 13:48, we see all those who were appointed to eternal life believed. Ears to hear. Can you hear the gospel and believe it? If so, be grateful. Be so grateful. Give thanks. Be so thankful. He has hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and he has revealed them to infants. This is the beautiful place that we come together. You must become like a child to believe and to hear. Our next step is thank the Lord for eternal salvation. This eternal salvation. It is not something given and then taken away if you're not good enough. It is a heart having been opened, a new heart having been given to us, where Christ is holding on to us, and though we might be like an obstinate child and struggle against his hand and fight to get away, he will certainly bring us back. What has been given to you? Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Back to that infant stage. A place where you can't boast. You weren't smart enough to choose him. That's not why you came to faith. You weren't godly enough to choose him. That's not why you came to faith. He gave you faith, therefore you believed. In Ephesians 1, I just read verses 8 through 9, but in chapter 2, but Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 8, we see that the salvation that we have is to result in a gratefulness and a praise. This is specifically how we are to think of our salvation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Do we sound like a people that can be thankful? That can be grateful? Has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. There's a place to stand in gratitude. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. Oh, church. Oh, brothers and sisters, children of the Most High, you have been so loved. You are so loved. You are set in such a beautiful place of overflowing blessing beyond even our greatest comprehension. Where will you steer your heart now? How will you direct it? How will you set your sail in relationship to blessings and trials, to pain, to disappointment? Won't you set it towards Christ? To move closer and closer through every circumstance, moving towards him with gratitude, with thankful hearts, as every spiritual blessing in heaven has been placed on you. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for where you have set us. Thank you for having set us in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you are well pleased. That one who has done everything out of love for you and has done all things perfectly. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have loved us. We thank you that you are loving us. We thank you that you will love us through eternity because of your covenant with Christ Jesus. Lord, please bless us with those hearts that are joyful. Lord, please free us from our anxiety as we give you thanks and as we give you your praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.